Let's go back to our calls now. 433-3121. Hi, Bob. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, good morning, Wayne. How are you doing?
Pretty good, sir.
Your basic question today, I believe, was will the constitutional debate split the country?
Or has it done so already, yeah.
Or has it done so already? Definitely, I would say the answer to that question would have to be yes. During the course of the past 10 years, Canada has experienced everything from French separation to separation from the West to, you know, many little groups even, you know, across the country that claim they want to separate or go their own way. A lot of concern as well has been levied against Prime Minister Trudeau, and I would have to say justifiably so. We are speaking of a Prime Minister who wants to create a constitution in this country, a Prime Minister who regards federalism, and I quote him here, as a valuable tool which permits dynamic parties to plant socialist governments in certain provinces from which the seed of radicalism...
When was it written?
It was written in 1961.
Do you think he's changed his ideas at all?
Not at all. The man is brilliant. He is very consistent. He is steadfast. He stays... He can, politically, what he tells the people, he will change. Like, you take something, a statement like this, and he will very politically cross-dress it so that it sounds quite appealing to people and appeals to the benefit side of things, not the cost side of things.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about, for example, now...
Could I mention a point here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to kill your train of thought.
Okay.
But yet here we had a man, Mr. Clark, who wanted to appeal to the cost side of things, and the voters threw him out.
Well, that's true. As much as I don't like the idea myself, an election is very much a media experience, and what we get in elections is very little substance and a lot of rhetoric, and I was very hard-pressed. I ran in the last federal election. I was very hard-pressed.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
For which party?
I ran for the Libertarians.
Oh, well, that's far right-wing, though.
Perhaps in economics, you can call us right-wing, and a lot of civil liberties ideas were left-wing. But what I find is the greatest problem with the Constitution, and I've done a lot of studying on it.
Mm-hmm.
The current debate is not, shall we have a constitution? The current debate is bringing it over with the entrenchment of rights in it. And many people have expressed concern that either they disagree with the rights that are in this new proposal, or they disagree with them on the basis of what rights are missing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the type of system that Mr. Trudeau intends to set up, we are always pitting one group against another. We're sitting here talking about, we have the Indians who are concerned about their rights.
But there was a concession given to Native peoples.
A concession given, doesn't that imply something ominous when you even use a phrase like that?
But isn't that what a parliament of any democracy does in its legislative work?
If we are to assume that a government grants rights to its citizens rather than a citizen granting powers to a government, then I would say your statement is quite correct.
But isn't that the whole idea of a constitution where we have a law that's above a government or above a parliament?
Absolutely, and I agree with that premise. But what a constitution is designed to do in a free society, now we have to make that choice. Do we want to be a free society? Do we want to be a socialist society?
But you seem to be polarizing socialism with freedom, like it's either...
Well, how do you mean polar? You mean putting them on opposite ends?
Yeah, yeah.
Very much so. A socialist system is not a free system. This is why the country wants to split apart. You're just pitting various rights against other rights. The only kind of right that really exists is an individual right, and it's a right to life, liberty, and property.
Well, that sounds American to me.
It very much is, but it's a quite rational basis upon which to build a constitution, and on the only basis on which freedom can exist in a country. The Americans realize this. It wasn't by accident that they just happened to pick these three phrases. Mr. Trudeau has spoken of the right to life, but omitted from his constitution the right to property. And the crucial point to realize here is unless you have the right to property, you cannot exercise your liberty or your right to life. The right to life is a property right.
Well, wait a second. There are a lot of people who are very, very free that aren't interested in owning property or have and have bailed out of it or whatever. The right to property means that people in Vancouver can speculate and drive the cost of houses to $300,000 and $400,000, and young people starting in this country wanting to own a house can't do it because of your right to property.
Who should be able to tell me or to tell you, Wayne, what you can charge for any property that you own, what you do with your property?
So then you're on the side of the oil companies and the multinationals?
This talk about oil companies and multinationals is really quite disturbing.
And so we should be.
Well, here we have a situation where the oil companies, they're pretty well running out of this country, and I don't blame them. When a government decides that it's going to withhold the right to property because it wants to nationalize oil companies and because it wants to take away these rights from other factions in society.
I don't think that Petrofina was nationalized, do you?
Sorry?
Do you feel that Petrofina was nationalized?
No, not Petrofina, but Mr. Trudeau in his last election ran on the platform that he wanted to nationalize oil industry and any major industry that they deemed as an essential service to the people. And the biggest cost in oil is government. The biggest cost in oil is not OPEC or what the oil companies are reaping in profits. They need those profits to ensure that future oil supplies will exist. People talk about profits like it's... I don't know, what is a profit? What happens to it? That money is doesn't just sit in somebody's mattress somewhere. It's out there producing goods and services.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with the government is telling us where those goods and services should be produced.
But you seem to be buying hook, line, and sinker, the line of the multinationals, that their profits are reinvested. Now, come on.
The multinationals. Don't get me wrong here. The multinationals have a lot of interests within government.
Mm-hmm.
Take those interests away, and they are powerless to act in the manner that they have been acting to this point.
Do you feel that all socialism is wrong?
To the degree that one has to initiate the use of force against an individual, yes. That is basically the way socialism operates. Socialism is from one end to the other. Let's face it, government is an institution of force. And when you create an institution of force, the idea of that institution is to protect your individual rights. When the government begins initiating actions, rather than protecting actions initiated by individuals, then you're going to have problems. The country will undoubtedly split up. It cannot hope to go any other way.